Right. Now, may not necessarily like what he has to say all the time. Don't get me wrong. But it is so straightforward and easy to read. When you read James, many times you say to yourself, well, hello, duh. You know, anybody knows that, right? Because what he says is common sense stuff, but what he says is also truth. And when you read it, you know it's true. Let's just look at some examples. Let's turn over to James chapter 3. We'll begin with verse 2. James chapter 3, begin with verse 2. For all of us make many mistakes. Can we get any amen on that? Yes. Anyone who makes no mistakes in speaking is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle. Now, I want to interrupt and say the Pew Bibles are Revised Standard Version. And so they have these and thous and therefores and wherewithals and all those kind of words in them, you know. I'm reading from the New Revised Standard, and so it's that Bible. It just took all the these and the thous out of there, okay? So it should be very similar, just without the language where you have to stand like this. All right. So anyone who makes no mistakes in speaking is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle. If we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Or look at the ships. Though they are so large that it takes strong winds to drive them, yet they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire, and the tongue is a fire. That's right. The tongue is placed among our members as a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body, sets on fire the cycle of nature, and is itself set on fire by hell. For every species of bird, I did say hell, and I'm in church. So, for every species of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by the human species, but no one can tame the tongue. That's right. No one can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it, now listen to me here. Listen to what James says. Don't listen to me. Listen to James. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not be so. Have you ever thought about that? We're here on Sunday morning and we're praising God, we're singing, right? And what happens Sunday morning once his Chiefs start playing? Or Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon. I'm sure you're all praising God then, aren't you? Or Royals, or however we want to look at it, right? Yeah, from the same mouth. Now on a more serious note, I mean, from the same mouth we give God praise, and yet many times our kids, our spouse, whoever's in the way, something else spews out of the mouth, right? Does a spring, now listen to his logic. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and brackish water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, he's saying, come on now, let's reason about this. Can a fig tree yield olives or a grapevine figs? No more can salt water yield fresh. He's asking the question, how can at one point you praise God, the creator of all that is, and another point we curse what God has made? How can we do that? If we turn back to chapter 1, verse 5, listen to some of these things. This is just amazing stuff. And it's hello dust stuff, because we all know it, right? If any of you is lacking wisdom, ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given to you. But ask in faith, never doubting, you've heard this all your life, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, what? Driven and tossed by the wind, right? For the doubter being double-minded, oh, now wait a minute. It's not anything to do with not being able to make up your mind, is it? It has to do with being double-minded and unstable in every way. Must not expect to receive anything from the Lord. You know, growing up on a farm. We did a lot of growing up on the farm anyway. And Dad would always tell me, you know, he's sitting right here. He'd say, Eric, you better not ride that fence too long. And I always say, why, Dad? And he'd say, well, you know, a barb will come along pretty soon. Think about that. You'll catch on.